Hello, everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me Halloween Edition, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today, for this Thursday Halloween bonus episode, we are going to be turning the Bogeyman into a D&D character. So this one might be a little more difficult to describe their background, because that's what I usually do first, to talk about their background. But the Bogeyman isn't an individual, they're more of a concept. So a Bogeyman is typically someone who punishes children. They're used in folklore as someone to teach a lesson to children. If you don't go to bed or eat your vegetables, the Bogeyman will come for you. So this means a lot of things can be considered Bogeymen. Like Jason Voorhees, for example, for punishing promiscuity and drugs and alcohol. He can be considered a bogeyman. Krampus can be considered a bogeyman. It's just a creature that typically punishes children. This also means that many, many cultures have developed the idea of the bogeyman over the years. The earliest kind of reference that I've been able to find, or people have been able to find, may have been in the 1500s in Old England, when they were talking about hobgoblins, and how hobgoblins are, you know, kind of lighthearted pranksters, but there are tales of hobgoblins who are much more vile in nature that would torment humans. So potentially since the 1500s or a lot earlier, there have been these creatures that humans were supposed to be afraid of. And the Bogeyman, one of the reasons why they're so hard to describe is because their actions change depending on what you're reading. Their characteristics and their appearance change depending on what you're reading. But they pretty much all agree that they are there to punish. Sometimes the punishments are just to frighten children and teach them a lesson. Others, they are meant to punish all, regardless of age. And then the third type are the ones that punish children with violence. The bogeyman said to steal children at night and eat them. So I think for the purposes of this podcast, turning the bogeyman into a D&D character, we have to decide on what this bogeyman is going to be. Okay, so we're going to go into that right away with picking the bogeyman's background. And I am saying bogeyman because it looks like that usage came earlier than boogeyman. Boogeyman, I think, is more of an Americanized version of bogeyman, but both are correct. There's even boogeyman, boogeyman, spelt like, you know, to dance. So, but we're going to go with bogeyman. So what is a fitting background for a creature that pretty much cross-culturally comes out at night, attacks children, can get into any room, is very good at hiding? So for background, I think I'm going to go with spy, which, you know, we're not talking James Bond, very suave and debonair spy. We're talking spy just in the sense that the bogeyman can spy on you. He can watch you. He can see your sins, your misdeeds. As a spy, he's going to gain proficiencies in deception and stealth. So stealth, greatly important for a bogeyman, because it's not as scary when you see them coming. That's not really the point of them. The point is essentially jump scares. You know what I mean? And I really like deception because the bogeyman's greatest strength, it seems like, is people believing that they don't exist. You know, what's the saying? Like, the devil's greatest trick is that he convinced people that he doesn't exist. Something like that. And the bogeyman has been referred to as a name for the devil. And since the devil punishes the wicked, the devil can be considered a bogeyman too. So I think deception is very important for the bogeyman. And he's going to gain tool proficiencies in a disguise kit and forgery kit. I don't know how useful those will be to the bogeyman. Because can you imagine a ghost trying to put on rouge? You know, just smearing lipstick over their not face. But are they a ghost? I think they're more a spirit. What's the difference? It doesn't matter. Anyway, skill proficiencies in deception and stealth, tool proficiencies and a disguise kit and forgery kit. Perfect. I think the forgery kit can just be used to mess with people, honestly. The bogeyman's like, how do I get this child alone? I'm going to tell their parents that they have to go to a meeting at, like, the child's school, and they'll leave the kid alone, and then I can sneak in and murder them. Beautiful! So now that we have background, let's pick a race. What race is fitting for the bogeyman? Because I'm seeing the earliest reference to bogeyman to be hobgoblins, I'm gonna make him hobgoblin. And then that makes sense, and I think I'm very smart for doing that, and you all should applaud me. Go on, you can do it. I believe in you. Anyway, so as a hobgoblin, they're going to have dark vision. Very useful when you're skulking through the dark. They also have fey ancestry, so he has advantage on saving throws he makes to avoid or end the charmed condition on himself. Next, he's going to gain the ability Fey Gift. So he can use this trait, the Fey Gift trait, to take the help action as a bonus action, a number of times equal to his proficiency bonus, and he regains all uses when he finishes a long rest. So that's great. The bogeyman can help you. They won't, but they can. Starting at third level with Fey Gift, whenever he takes the help action using the Fey Gift trait, he can add one of these additional options. Hospitality, which will make the bogeyman and the creature he helps gain a number of temporary hit points equal to 1d6 plus the bogeyman's proficiency bonus. Passage, where he and the creature he help each increase their walking speed by 10 feet until the start of his next turn. And spite. So until the start of his next turn, the first time the creature he helps hits a target with an attack roll, that target has disadvantage on the next attack roll it makes within the next minute. Now these are all cool abilities if the bogeyman is going to be using the help action or using it as a bonus action, which he's probably not going to do, unless of course there are two bogeymen. Because remember, the bogeyman is just kind of this ethereal figure, this catch-all for beings who dole out punishments for disobedience. So there fully could be multiple bogeymen. Next, he's going to gain fortune from the many. So if the bogeyman misses with an attack roll or fails an ability check or saving throw, he can draw on his bonds of reciprocity to gain a bonus to the roll equal to the number of allies he can see within 30 feet of him. And a maximum bonus of +3. And he can use this trait a number of times equal to his proficiency bonus, and he'll regain all expended uses when he finishes a long rest. So that's a pretty cool ability. Again, if a bunch of different bogeymen are attacking, he can use Fortune from the Many to just gain a bonus on ability checks or saving throws up to +3. That's a really cool ability. I don't know if he's going to be utilizing it a ton, because the one I'm kind of thinking of how I'm going to build him is going to be more of a solitary hunter, but if he does choose to do like a superhero style team up, that's great. More power to him, literally more power to him, because he'll have more options from his abilities. For languages, he's going to know common and one of his choice, and he's also going to get +2 to one ability score of his choice and +1 to another. So now that we have background spy and race hobgoblin, we can roll for stats. So that's when you take a d6, a six-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 to get one of his 6 ability scores. So we're gonna do that 6 times. Okay, so I rolled for the bogeyman, and they did fine. They got 16, 15, 12, 16, 5, and 11. So they got 2 16s, which is great, but they also got a 5. That's so bad. I rolled 3 ones and a 3. So I dropped one of the ones, but still a 5. It's terrible. Anyway, so now let's put those where we think they should go. So what do we think the bogeyman's highest stat is going to be? I am going to go ahead and put that into dexterity because stealth seems like it's very important to a bogeyman. Next, there's another 16. Let's see. I do want them to be magic, but what kind of magic would make sense for them. I don't think intelligence makes sense. Maybe wisdom? Okay, let's do wisdom. So let's put a 16 into wisdom, which is a +3 modifier as well. So both of those 16s are +3 modifiers. Pretty good. Next, there's a 15. I'm going to put that into... I'm going to put that into constitution. So that's a +2 modifier. Next, we have a 12. I'm going to do 12 charisma. So that's a +1 to charisma. Next, 11 to strength, which is +0. So not very strong, but that's fine. And then the last one, that 5, is automatically getting slotted into intelligence. Because I don't think a bogeyman needs intelligence at all. They don't need to be intelligent in order to fulfill their goals, which is murdering children. You don't need to be smart to do that. You just need to be a monster. So a 5 is a -3 modifier. So this bogeyman is dumb as a sack of shit. But boy, are they good at hiding and murder. So we have all of those set there. But remember, he gets a +2 and a +1 from being a hobgoblin. So I'm going to put the +2 into dexterity, making that an 18, which is a +4 modifier, and a +1 into constitution, bumping that up to a 16, which is a +3 modifier. So despite rolling a 5, their starting stats are actually pretty damn good. They have 11 strength, 18 dexterity, 16 constitution, 5 intelligence, 16 wisdom, and 12 charisma. That's great. So let's see, what do we think their first class should be? Well, I think if we're going for stealth, you know what we gotta start in. He's going to be a first level druid. And I keep saying he and using, you know, masculine or male pronouns, but a bogeyman doesn't have to be a man. Like, I read something that suggested Baba Yaga, you know, that witch, could be considered a bogeyman. The reason I refer to them using those pronouns is because the bogeyman is typically seen as masculine male figures or characters. So they could be gender neutral, they could be masculine, they could be feminine, is whatever. The bogeyman doesn't care about gender, they care about murdering children. So as a first level druid, the bogeyman is going to gain proficiency in light armor, medium armor, and shields. In clubs, daggers, darts, javelins, maces, quarterstaves, scimitars, sickles, slings, and spears. Also has proficiency in an herbalism kit. Aw, isn't that nice? He's going to have proficiency in intelligence and wisdom saving throws. Oof, he is going to need that proficiency in those intelligence saving throws. Because he got a -3 to intelligence. He's going to need all the help he can get there. He's also going to gain 2 skill proficiencies from Arcana, Animal Handling, Insight, Medicine, Nature, Perception, Religion, and Survival. I'm going to give him proficiency in Perception because I think it's really important to be able to perceive your surroundings and, you know, not get snuck up on. Like, how embarrassing would it be to be a bogeyman and someone gets the drop on you? No. You're supposed to get the drop on them. And perception will help with that, too. To that end, I am going to give him proficiency in survival as well, because survival is typically used for tracking. So being able to spot people who are trying to hide and sense people around you, as well as track people. Very important for a bogeyman. You know, you got a lot of murders to do. So let's see, languages, common and one of his choice. What's a bogeyman language? Demonic, I guess? Or if they are kind of a fey creature, would Sylvan make sense for that? Yeah, okay. Some of them are based on like tricksters. So, okay, let's say common and Sylvan. So as a druid, he is going to know druidic, the secret language of druids. He can speak the language, he can use it to leave hidden messages, and he and others who know this language will automatically spot such a message. So I like this. In this context, I'm thinking of druidic more as like a language specific to bogeymen. like, they can understand each other, but anyone hearing them communicate would have no idea that they were even communicating, perhaps. They would just hear these mad utterings and not be able to conceive of what they are. That's fun. Next, he is going to gain spellcasting. Because, of course, the bogeyman's magic. That goes without saying. I think in a lot of instances, the bogeyman is... it's more like subtle innate magic, which would be more fitting of a sorcerer. But the magic they have appears to be more of the natural world than the arcane world. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter if it doesn't. I'm still doing it. So with spellcasting, he's going to know two cantrips of his choice from the druid spell list. There's some good ones there that I think would be fitting for a bogeyman. Like Primal Savagery. Primal Savagery, the bogeyman will be able to cause his teeth or fingernails to sharpen. And I like that because some instances of the bogeyman, they are described as having claws or sharp teeth, good for carving apart children. I'm really talking about child murder a lot, but it's the bogeyman. That's what he do. And how about control flames? I actually like that for setting the mood. Like, oh, I'm walking around with a lighter as my only form of light. Well, the bogeyman can use control flames to extinguish the flame, and then you're just in darkness, and you get got. So, there. But a bunch of good ones there. And as a druid, his spellcasting ability is going to be Wisdom. So his spell save DC, where a target needs to equal or beat to resist the effects of his druid spells, is going to be 8. Plus his proficiency bonus, plus his wisdom modifier. Proficiency bonus is +2, wisdom modifier is +3, so that is a spell save DC of 13. That's not bad. It's not great, but at first level, that's not bad at all. And his spell attack modifier for his druid spells is going to be proficiency bonus plus wisdom modifier, or +5. Again, not bad. Not great, but not bad. Second level, he is going to gain access to Wild Shape. So now the bogeyman can use his action to transform into a beast. And he can use this feature twice per short or long rest. So right now, there are limitations to what he can transform into. It can't fly, it can't have a swimming speed like a crocodile, a shark. But he can transform into things like a wolf or a cat or a raccoon even. And I think that can be really scary, because imagine you are running for the bogeyman and you turn around and they're not there. And you keep running and you hear something following you, but you don't know what it is. And then this cute little squirrel comes out and you're like, oh my god, it was just a squirrel. So you turn around to keep looking. And when you turn back to the squirrel, the bogeyman's standing there again. Ooh, that's spooky. Clamp my nips. I love it. So he can stay in this wild shape for a number of hours equal to half his druid level rounded down. So right now, just 1 hour, but that's plenty of time. There are a lot of rules to wild shape. I'm not going to go into them. You don't need me to do that. You can look it up if you're curious, but he can turn into an animal. Awesome. Also at second level as a druid, he's going to gain his druid subclass called a druid circle. So what one do we think would be fitting? I mean, the path of dreams, I'm not going to go with the path of dreams because what the subclass does isn't fitting. But I did read that some people consider the bogeyman to be kind of an opposite to the sandman, where the sandman helps you sleep or puts you to sleep. And the bogeyman is one who punishes you for not sleeping. So I'm looking at the druid subclasses, and I don't think any of them are super fitting. Like, none of the druid subclasses, I don't really like them in general. Our Circle of the Stars is pretty good, and I guess Circle of the Moon, if you're into anyway, for this purpose of the bogeyman subclass, none of them are very fitting. So I'm just going to go Circle of the Land because I don't think we're going to take too many more levels in Druid anyway. When he chooses the Circle of the Land at second level, he's going to learn one additional Druid cantrip of his choice. That's cool. So now during a short rest, the bogeyman can choose expended spell slots to recover that have a combined level that's equal to or less than half his Druid level rounded up. Yeah, and just regain those spell slots. That's pretty cool. So he's a second level druid. If he takes a short rest, he can just recover one first level spell slot. That's great. It's the same, if you listen to Monday's episode with Winifred, it's the same as her arcane recovery. Take a short rest, regain some spell slots. It's great. He is also going to gain circle spells. So he has a mystical connection to the land that allows him to cast certain spells. So he's going to pick a type of land, and he's going to automatically going to learn certain spells associated with that land. So I'm trying to think, what would be the most fitting spells for him? And, that's good. I am going to go with grassland. So he's not going to learn any spells yet. They're automatically stocked for him. So next level at third level, he is going to learn invisibility and pass without trace. Oh, both of those spells are so good for a bogeyman. He can just turn invisible. Classic bogeyman technique and pass without trace. Are you kidding me? So what pass without trace does is he'll be able to add a plus 10 to his stealth checks. He already has plus 6 to stealth. That is going to be a plus 16 to stealth when he has that spell up. That is, no one's going to see him coming. That's very cool. Okay, anyway, so let's go to third level in druid so we can actually, you know, gain access to those spells. Next, we are going to go fourth level in druid. So third level, all he did, he got access to his circle of the land spells and to second level druid spell slots. Cool. Okay, that's fine. Fourth level in druid, he is going to gain an ability score improvement. So he can increase one of his ability scores by 2 or 2 of his ability scores by 1. And I know he's using wisdom for his spell casting, but we are going to increase dexterity from an 18 to a 20. Which is now a plus 5 modifier. So part of me kind of wanted to stop at third level, but if I went to fourth level, his wild shape gets better. So now he can turn into something with a swimming speed. So he can be a crocodile. You know, if you swim away from him thinking you're safe, he could just like turn into a crab and scuttle after you. You know, classic bogeyman thing. You ever, all the bogeyman of the audience, this ever happened to you? Someone goes into the water and tries to swim away from you. You can't swim. You don't have a corporeal body. So you turn into a crab. Yeah? You scuttle on after him. That ever happened to you? I don't know what that voice was, and I do deeply apologize. Let's multiclass now for fifth level. We're going into rogue. So how about that? Multiclassing into rogue means he's going to gain proficiency in one skill from the class's skill list and proficiency in thieves' tools. So let's see, skill proficiency, he can choose one from acrobatics, athletics, deception, insight, intimidation, investigation, perception, performance, persuasion, sleight of hand, and stealth. So a lot of things there. Let's see, he already has a few of those. Let's see, what's he already proficient in? Deception, perception, stealth, and survival. Oh, so let's do, I'm thinking sleight of hand. Yeah, I'm thinking sleight of hand so that he can just mess with people more easily. You know, swap things out from right under people's nose. They could, you know, like imagine they go into a room and they lock the door with a key and they set the key down on a table. And then they reach for it a moment later and it's gone. Ooh, that's frightening. that's good fun. So as a first level rogue, he is going to gain expertise. And I love expertise. It's like my favorite thing. So he's going to choose 2 of his skill proficiencies. And his proficiency bonus is going to be doubled for them. That's awesome. He can also choose 1 of his skill proficiencies and his proficiency with thieves' tools. I don't think he needs thieves' tools at all. I think we're going to pick 2 skill proficiencies, and I'm thinking they're going to be stealth and perception. Oh, that is gorgeous. So proficiency bonus at 5th level goes up to plus 3. He has plus 5 to dexterity already, so that means his stealth is plus 11, because you double the proficiency bonus. So, plus 11 stealth at 5th level. If I had a player who had that, I'd slap him. Not literally, because violence would give me a tummy ache, but, you know, that's crazy. That's something that can mess with the DM's plans. Plus 11 stealth at frickin' 5th level. Plus 9 to perception is also very, very high. Anyway, in addition to expertise, he is also going to gain sneak attack. Great for a bogeyman. So once per turn, the bogeyman can just deal an extra 1d6 damage to one creature he hits with an attack if he has advantage on the attack roll. The attack has to use a finesse or a ranged weapon. I can't imagine a bogeyman using a ranged weapon. So one thing that could gain him advantage is if he's hidden first. So if he uses Pass Without Trace and has a plus 21 to stealth, because Pass Without Trace adds plus 10 to stealth checks, he can hide so effortlessly, jump out, attack with advantage, and deal an additional 1d6. Beautiful. He doesn't need advantage on the attack roll if another enemy of the target's within 5 feet of it. That enemy isn't incapacitated, and he doesn't have disadvantage on the attack roll. So if the bogeyman is attacking, if they're like attacking in a pack, they're going to be unstoppable. That's scary. Also at first level, the last thing he gets as a first level rogue is Thieves' Cant. So just like Druidic, only people who understand Thieves' Cant can, well, obviously understand Thieves' Cant. So it's a secret mix of dialect, jargon, and code that allows him to hide messages in seemingly normal conversation. So I kind of like the idea of like double encrypted speech. So using Thieves' Cant in Druidic, no one will have any idea what the hell the bogeyman is saying. And I love that for him. Second level in Rogue, that is 6th overall, he's going to gain Cunning Action. This is, it's a great ability. So now he can take a bonus action on each of his turns in combat to dash, disengage, or hide. And remember, if he's hidden, he can get that advantage to deal the additional sneak attack damage. So he can use a bonus action to hide, then attack. Next turn, bonus action to hide, then attack. And chances are, he's gonna be successful on that hide check. But also being able to dash as a bonus action, just run towards someone so fast, they think they're gonna get away. They're not going to. They can't. There's no point in them running. Third level in Rogue, he is going to gain a roguish archetype. That is the Rogue subclass. Now, part of me was thinking, you know, Arcane Trickster might be interesting for him to give him some more, like, illusion spells, stuff like that. But the Arcane Trickster subclass uses intelligence, and his is so bad. So we are not going to do that. Instead, we are going to go with another one. Undecided. How about, you know what? Yeah, we're going to go with Scout. No, we're not going to do that because that's stupid. We're going to go with Swashbuckler. because why wouldn't I go with Swashbuckler? You know what I mean? So as a Swashbuckler, he gains fancy footwork. Now, I'm sure I'm not just speaking for myself, but when I think of Bogeyman, in addition to the murder, I think, damn, that's some fancy footwork. So now, during the Bogeyman's turn, if he makes a melee attack against a creature, that creature can't make opportunity attacks against him for the rest of his turn. So I like that because it means he doesn't need to disengage. He can attack someone and then move away without worrying about an opportunity attack, and then take a bonus action to hide. And then jump out at them on his next turn. He can be doing like this crazy fight with someone, but it don't matter. That's fun. He's also going to get Rakish Audacity. This bogeyman's actually kind of cute now that I think about it. So he's going to gain a bonus to initiative equal to his charisma modifier. Well, his charisma modifier is only plus 1, but still, that's another plus 1 to initiative. Initiative is normally just his dexterity modifier, which is plus 5, but now it's a total of plus 6. Hell yeah. Now, the reason I took this subclass is because, again, I don't think he's going to be fighting alongside other people or other creatures. So with Rakish Audacity, he no longer needs advantage on his attack rolls to use his sneak attack against a creature if he's within 5 feet of it, no other creatures are within 5 feet of him, and he doesn't have disadvantage on the attack roll. This means he doesn't actually need to hide an attack like an ambush. He can just gain sneak attack right up close and personal. That is very useful when he is hunting alone. Anyway, level 4 in Rogue, that is 8th overall. I swear I can count. That is 8th overall. He is going to gain an ability score improvement. Again, he can increase one ability score of his choice by 2 or 2 ability scores of his choice by 1. And I think we are going to increase Wisdom. We're going to bump Wisdom from a 16 to an 18, which is a plus 4 modifier, and we'll talk about that decision later, perhaps. But this increases his perception, which is awesome, his survival, you know, good stuff there. 5th level in Rogue, 9th overall, he's going to gain Uncanny Dodge. So now, when an attacker that the bogeyman can see hits him with an attack, he can use his reaction to halve the attack's damage against him. I love this because a lot of ideas of the bogeyman are, they're just unkillable. You stab them and they don't really even flinch. It doesn't matter to them. So stabbing them and having them immediately halve the attack's damage against him, that's a great ability to have. 6th level in Rogue, 10th overall, he is going to gain Expertise again. So we can choose 2 more of his skill proficiencies to gain Expertise in. Let's see, let's do Deception, because I do like it, not so much for gameplay, I don't think it'll be helpful in gameplay, but I like it more as a symbolic representation, how people don't believe the bogeyman is real until it's too late. And I think deception is a part of that. So his charisma is only plus 1, but at this point, his proficiency bonus is plus 4. So doubled with charisma, that is a plus 9 to deception. He doesn't even have good charisma, and he has plus 9 to deception. That's great. So deception, and let's do survival, so he can more accurately track people. You can't run from the bogeyman. Well, you can run, but you can't hide. Y'all, I just cracked the code. I'm a certified genius. Anyway, 7th level in Rogue. That is 11th overall. He's going to gain Evasion. One of my favorite, the Rogue class has so many of my favorite abilities, but I don't really like playing Rogues. Anyway, so Evasion. Now when the bogeyman is subjected to an effect that allows him to make a dexterity saving throw to take only half damage, like from fireball or from lightning bolt, if he succeeds on the saving throw, he's going to take absolutely no damage. And even if he fails the saving throw, he's still only going to take half. He's so evasive, which makes sense because he's a spirit. Of course he's going to be this ethereal, dexterous, hard to hit, hard to pin down creature. 8th level in Rogue, that's 12th overall, he's going to gain another ability score improvement, and I say for this one, let's give him a feat. So, looking at feats here, what do we think would be fitting? So, when you take an ability score improvement, instead of increasing an ability score, you can choose a feat, which is a special ability, essentially. Yeah, should I do that? Wait, can I do that? Or is that not... Yes. Oh, hell. Yes. Okay. So, what we are going to do is give him the feat Eldritch Adept. So now he can learn one Eldritch invocation option of his choice from the Warlock class. And we are going to choose Mask of Many Faces. So now the bogeyman can cast Disguise Self at will. So he can turn into animals, and he can look like other people as well. Oh, that's scary. Be careful. Anyone you know could be the bogeyman. that's fun. I don't think we're going to take any more levels in Rogue. I think we are going to multi-class once more into Ranger. So he's a 4th level Druid, an 8th level Rogue, and now a 1st level Ranger, 13th overall. Multi-classing into Ranger gives him access to simple weapons, martial weapons, and one skill from the class's skill list. So he is going to gain another skill proficiency. So let's see, he can choose one from animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, and survival. Let's see, he already has perception, stealth, and survival. Should we do investigation? Yeah, I think investigation, because investigation can also be used to track people. Although investigation uses intelligence and his intelligence is so bad, maybe that just means he needs this proficiency even more. Okay, yeah, we're going to give him proficiency in investigation because, you know, why the hell not? So as a 1st level ranger, he's going to gain a favored enemy. So we're going to choose humanoids. So now he has a +2 bonus to damage rolls with weapon attacks against humanoids. And he's going to have advantage on survival checks to track them, as well as intelligence checks to recall information about them. When he gains favored enemy, he's also going to learn another language of his choice, typically one spoken by his favored enemy. Let's see, let's do... I guess it doesn't matter. How about demonic? Because it doesn't have to be a language that humanoids typically speak. It can be whatever language you want. So we're going to go with demonic just for flavor. He's also going to get natural explorer. So he's going to ignore difficult terrain. He's going to have advantage on initiative rolls. And on his 1st turn during combat, he's going to have advantage on attack rolls against creatures that have not yet acted. And I love all 3 of these abilities for him. Being able to ignore difficult terrain means he's going to be able to move faster. While his prey are stumbling through the forest, he's going to be able to move calmly through it without a care in the world. Advantage on initiative rolls means he's going to have these bursts of speed that can surprise and daze pretty much anyone, because he has +6 to initiative, and now advantage. Also, if he goes before someone in combat on his 1st turn, he's going to just have advantage on attack rolls against them. So that means if other requirements for sneak attack aren't met, he can still have his sneak attack damage because of that advantage. Beautiful. 2nd level in Ranger, 14th overall, he's going to gain a fighting style. There are a lot of fighting styles. I don't think any of them matter too much. I don't think any of them are going to be game-changing. I'm just going to give him defense, which gives him a +1 bonus to armor class. And the reason I'm giving him that is because the bogeyman should be hard to take down. That's the whole point. It's this unstoppable force. You can't defeat the bogeyman. Then they wouldn't be a bogeyman. They would just be like some random guy named Jeremy. You don't want a Jeremy, okay? You want a bogeyman. If your name's Jeremy, you know what you did. So also as a 2nd level ranger, he's going to gain more spellcasting. Because rangers are also spellcasters. They don't have as many spell slots or spells as druids, but they got some. And just like druids, their spellcasting ability is wisdom. Which is why I increased the bogeyman's wisdom when he got to level 4 in Rogue. Because now he's using wisdom for his druid spells and his ranger spells as well. 3rd level in Ranger, 15th overall, he is going to gain Primeval Awareness. So now he can just kind of communicate with beasts. Also, he can attune his senses to determine if any of his favorite enemies are nearby, aka humanoids. So by spending 1 uninterrupted minute in concentration, he can sense whether any humanoids are present within 5 miles of him. That's scary. Even if you are great at hiding, he might not be able to see you, but he sure as hell can sense you. Also, as a 3rd level ranger, he is going to gain a ranger conclave or a ranger subclass. And I think we're going to go with Fae Wanderer, because the bogeyman does seem to be sort of a fae creature. Hobgoblin reflects that. The Sylvan language we gave them reflects that. Now, Fae Wanderer will reflect that even further. So they're going to gain the ability Dreadful Strikes. So when he hits a creature with a weapon, he can deal an extra 1d4 psychic damage to the target. That's fine. but he's also going to learn some extra spells as he levels up in this. So he's going to know Charm Person. I think this could kind of manifest as madness. You know, like, you and your friends are running from something, and one of them just kind of stops and turns and just starts walking back towards the murderer. They don't know why their legs are bringing them closer and closer to their death, but they are. This is creepy. Also, he's going to gain otherworldly glamour. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to take this. So now whenever he makes a charisma check, he's going to gain a bonus to the check equal to his wisdom modifier. Well, his wisdom modifier is +4, charisma is +1, so he's going to have a +5 in all of the charisma skills. In addition, he's going to gain proficiency in one of the following skills of his choice: deception, performance, or persuasion. Well, he already has deception, so let's do persuasion. As funny as I think performance would be, I don't think that's fitting for him. So boom, proficiency and persuasion, which I also don't see as super fitting. But there you have it. Now we are going to go 4th level in Ranger. That is, oh god, what is it? 15th overall? No, 16th overall. I swear I can count. I'm usually very good at counting. So 4th level in Ranger, 16th overall, another ability score improvement. We're going to pick a feat. I don't think we're going to increase ability scores again. They're fine. So now that he has all of this, there is one that I was looking at to give him. Yeah, okay. Menacing. So his charisma is going to increase by +1. That doesn't change it at all. It's going to increase from a 12 to a 13, but that's still a +1 modifier. So the modifier doesn't change at all, but you know. He's also going to gain proficiency in intimidation. I pretty much just like forgot to give him proficiency in that because he should be intimidating. One of his goals is to scare people into behaving, so intimidation will help with that. But additionally, when he makes the attack action on his turn, the bogeyman can replace one attack with an attempt to demoralize one humanoid he can see within 30 feet of him that can see and hear the bogeyman. So the bogeyman will make an intimidation check contested by the target's insight, and if the check succeeds, the target is frightened until the end of the bogeyman's next turn. So that's cool. The bogeyman can just stand there, and just their mere presence can frighten someone. That's fun. I like that. Let's do 5th level in Ranger, 17th overall. He is going to gain extra attack. Thank God. So with extra attack, it's just exactly what it sounds like. When he takes the attack action, he can just attack twice. Good for him. I'm just gonna say he has claws. I don't know why I didn't think to do that, but sometimes I will flavor a weapon as something else. He can still use stats for like a rapier, but instead I'm going to flavor it as they're just his claws. So he can make 2 attacks with his claws using the stats of a rapier to get his sneak attack damage. So there we go. Now he can make 2 of those attacks a turn, but keep in mind sneak attack can only be applied once per turn. So also as a 5th level Fey Wanderer Ranger, he gains access to the Misty Step spell, which is so scary. It just allows him as a bonus action to teleport 30 feet. Say you're freaking in a car, okay? The bogeyman, he might be fast. He's not as fast as a car. He can just teleport inside the vehicle. If he's within 30 feet, he can just teleport right inside it. What are you gonna do? You're trapped now. He's gonna get you. So 6th level in Ranger, 18th overall, he is going to gain greater favored enemy. So now he can choose aberrations, celestials, constructs, dragons, elementals, fiends, or giants. I don't think any of this is fitting, so I'm just gonna say celestials. All bogeymen dream of punching God. So he's gonna gain all the benefits for celestials that he normally gains against his favorite enemy, including an additional language. So I guess if we gave him celestial, we can give him the celestial language. Again, I don't think any of this is fitting, but this is what's happening. Also, his bonus to damage rolls against his favorite enemies is going to increase from a +2 to a +4. So now when he attacks a humanoid, he's going to deal an additional 4 damage to them every time he hits. Beautiful. With greater favored enemy, he's also going to have advantage on saving throws against the spells and abilities used by Celestials. I don't care about that. 7th level in Ranger, that is 19th overall, he is going to gain a Conclave feature. So from the Fey Wanderer subclass, he gains the ability Beguiling Twist. So now has advantage on saving throws against being charmed or frightened. And in addition, whenever he or a creature he can see within 120 feet of him succeeds on a saving throw against being charmed or frightened, he can use his reaction to force a different creature he can see within 120 feet of him to make a wisdom saving throw against his spell save DC. And if the save fails, the target is charmed or frightened by him, his choice, for 1 minute. So, essentially, what this means is if someone tries to charm the bogeyman and he succeeds, he can immediately use his reaction to try to frighten them. But it's also if a creature he can see succeeds on a saving throw against being charmed or frightened. So he can use his ability from the menacing feat, use his action to try to frighten someone, and if they succeed on their saving throw and resist being frightened, he can just turn his gaze on someone else within 120 feet and try to frighten them instead. That's really fun. That's scary. He can just spread his fear out or charm people more easily, because he did get the charm person spell from being a Fey Wanderer. Oh, he's awful. Okay, 8th level in something. Hold on, let me think. So 8th level as a ranger, he'll gain another ability score improvement, which is good. If he were to become a 9th level rogue, I don't really like that ability. A 5th level druid, what would he gain then? So as a 5th level druid, no. Okay, I am going to go 8th level in ranger, 20th overall. We have made it to the end. Level 1 through 20, we did it. So he is going to gain Fleet of Foot, which is useless. He can just use the dash action as a bonus action on his turn. He could already do that as a 2nd level rogue, so that's completely useless. But he's also going to gain an ability score improvement. That's the important thing here. What is his last feat going to be? We gave him... Oh god, what did we give him? We gave him Menacing... We gave him Menacing and what else? I already don't remember because I'm stupid. My god, what did I give him? Eldritch Adept. Oh, that's right. I gave him Eldritch Adept, Mask of Many Faces, so he can just look like someone else. Hell yeah. I really need to write things down as I go. Right? Yeah. So he already has Eldritch Adept and Menacing. So let's give him... Ooh. Okay, I'm gonna give him the telekinetic feat. So he can increase his intelligence, wisdom, or charisma by 1 to a maximum of 20. So I'm going to increase charisma. Charisma is going to go from a 13 to a 14, which now does increase that plus 1 to a plus 2 modifier. Boom, right on the tail end, to increase that charisma. Now the bogeyman is going to learn the Mage Hand cantrip. And he can cast it without verbal or somatic components, and he can make the spectral hand invisible. Its spellcasting ability is going to be charisma, because that's what we increased with this feat. But now he just has like this invisible appendage that he can move things around with. He can poke people. He can poke and prod people completely unseen. But what's really cool is now as a bonus action, he can try to telekinetically shove one creature he can see within 30 feet of him. And when he does so, the target has to make a strength saving throw, DC of 8, plus his proficiency bonus, plus his charisma modifier. So proficiency bonus at 20th level is plus 6, charisma is plus 2, so it's a DC 16 strength saving throw. That's not great for a 20th level character, but it's still not bad. Because you got to imagine, the people he's murdering aren't 20th level characters. They're most likely going to be children. So now, if they fail the saving throw, he can telekinetically move them 5 feet toward or away from him. So you're running away, and all of a sudden, you're just thrown backwards 5 feet towards the bogeyman as he approaches you. Oh, that's so creepy. God, the bogeyman sucks. This build is fun, but the bogeyman himself is just a child murdering monster, which is the point of them, but still. I wonder what the world would be like if, instead of saying, if you don't eat your vegetables, the bogeyman's gonna come and murder you, people said, if you don't eat your vegetables, you aren't gonna get proper nutrients and you're gonna fall sick. Would the world be different if adults did not lie to children about horrors? Probably, but it might be less interesting, so let's not dwell on that, because what's the point? So anyway, we did it! The bogeyman! The bogeyman, the personification of horror. Background, spy, race, hobgoblin. He is a level 4 Circle of the Land druid, a level 8 swashbuckler rogue, and a level 8 fey wanderer ranger. His ending stats are 11 strength, 20 dexterity, 16 constitution, 5 intelligence, 18 wisdom, and 14 charisma. Those ending stats are beauts. I mean, sans intelligence, but that's fine. His skill proficiencies, he has plus 18 to deception. Plus 18! That's dumb. That is dumb how high that is. 18! Because of his Fey Wanderer subclass for Ranger, he can add his wisdom to all of his charisma skills. Plus, he has expertise in deception, so he doubles his proficiency bonus. It's so high. Oh my god. Okay, anyway. He has plus 12 in intimidation, plus 3 in investigation. Because he has minus 3 to intelligence, he only has a plus 3, even though his proficiency bonus is plus 6. Beautiful. He has plus 16 to perception. Very perceptive there. Plus 12 to persuasion. Plus 11 to sleight of hand. Plus 17 to stealth. And plus 10 to survival. All of those are so good, except investigation. But the rest of them are so good. Saving throws, we have plus 3 to intelligence, because again, his intelligence is absolute trash, and a plus 10 to wisdom saving throws. For languages, he has Common, Sylvan, Druidic, Thieves' Cant, Demonic, and Celestial. Wow, he started with 2, just from his race, right? Or was it, from his race, he got Common and Sylvan, and then as he went, he got another 4 languages. That's so cool. Tool proficiencies with Disguise Kit, Forgery Kit, Herbalism Kit, and Thieves' Tools. And for feats, he has Eldritch Adept to give him the Mask of Many Faces, so he can cast Disguise Self at will. Menacing to scare people, and Telekinetic to push people. So, my idea of the bogeyman. God, I don't know if I want to give an idea of the bogeyman. He's personification of horror. Well, I do this for every character, so I guess I have to. I just hate it. I feel like children should be exempt from the horror genre. Just leave them alone. They're going through enough, you know? Puberty? Forget about it, right? Anyway, so my idea of the bogeyman. You are home at night. Your parents just left. They received a missive. A letter telling them they had to meet with the Robinsons to discuss further business ventures. They were kind enough to tuck you in before they went, and as you lay in bed, in the dark, you can't help but notice, out your window, what looks to be a squirrel sitting on a tree branch. How cute. What's unnerving is that it seems to be staring at you. But there's no way it can see you in the dark, can it? The only reason you can see it is because the moon is high in the sky. You look back just to make sure, but it's not there. Peculiar. You close your eyes and try to sleep when you hear a creak. Mom? Dad? No one answers. They're not home. You know this. You hear the creak again, a little more insistent this time. Trepidatiously, you stand, your bare feet cold on the floor, and you walk towards your bedroom door. It's open, but you could have swore that your parents closed it. You pull it open and poke your head out into the hallway. How did you get in here? You see that same little squirrel standing in the hallway, but when you turn the lights on, it's gone. Was it a trick of the light? Were your eyes playing tricks on you? Maybe you're just a little scared of being home alone. You turn back and go back into your room, closing the door behind you. And as you pad over to your bed, you hear another creak, closer this time. You slowly turn over your shoulder to see that your door is once again ajar. You go to close it, turning away from your bed, when you feel something cold clamp around your ankles, coming from underneath your bed. You barely have time to utter a scream before an invisible force knocks you to the ground and you get pulled under. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fantasize Me. You can follow me on Twitter at FantasizeMePod and email in character suggestions to FantasizeMePod@gmail.com. There is still time to get in your Halloween suggestions. So for every Monday of October, I'm going to release a Halloween episode. And every Thursday in October, I am going to release a special Halloween bonus episode. So because of how October is laid out, that means there are going to be 5 Mondays. So that's going to be 9 Halloween episodes. So email in your suggestions to fantasizemepod@gmail.com and see if I take your suggestion and make them into a spooky D&D character. Over on twitch.tv/fantasizemepod, I stream video games sometimes. So give me a follow there. Following is free, as they say. Somewhere, probably. Anyway, remember to tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your friends' enemies. Ooh. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode, and we will do this again on Monday. Bye!